Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Big Honker Podcast. We appreciate everybody that's tuning in. September's flying by. We're already halfway through September. It makes no sense. We wait all year for this time of the year to get here, and it just flies by. We hope that you're getting out there and that you're having some success. We've got great sponsors on this podcast. Basically, anything that you need to waterfowl hunt in, we've got a sponsor for. So, this podcast is brought to you by the one and only Pacific Calls. The boys up there have got it going on. They've got the PCD, which I believe is the best duck call out on the market right now. The single reed is a screamer and never gets old. They're also redesigning the 206, making it a little bit more user-friendly, and it's not going to sacrifice anything. It still has that great sound, and if you're a big boy hunter, the 509 would be my recommendation to you. You can check them out at PacificCustomCalls.com, and you can use the promo code BHP25, saves you 25% off at checkout. This podcast is also brought to you by Shin Gear Waders. Listen, they've got a promise to you that they will stand behind their waders as long as you stand in them. It is made out of durable nylon. They're not doing this polyester or anything like that. They're making a wader that can take a beating, and if something happens and you do spring a leak, you can send it back to them, and they'll get it right back to you in a timely manner. So, check them out, shingear.com, and you can get your waders ordered and get them over to your house before the season starts. Like I said, with that kind of guarantee, why wouldn't you buy it? Shingear.com. We're also brought to you by the one and only Dive Bomb Industries, the best silhouette on the market that you can buy, bar none, divebombindustries.com. And they're so much more than just a decoy company. They got bags out. They've got clothes out, jackets. Floaters are in the mix now. They've got teal floaters, mallard floaters, goose floaters, you name it. Dive Bomb is becoming a one-stop shop for your decoy needs. But they're still the biggest decoy maker on the planet. They've got everything that you're going to need, from snows to Canadas to specs. And I always say, get the flocked head. Spend a little bit extra. It adds that contrast out in your spread. And, you won't regret it. So check them out at divebombindustries.com and get skinny for 2021. Also, we're brought to you by Boss Shot Shells. Bismuth is back in style. All it takes is one. It hits like a freight train, and it's all made in America. Now, listen. Because Joe Biden and COVID and all this other bullshit, shotgun shells are going to get scarce at the end of the year. You're hearing it now. Get your shotgun shells ordered for this hunting season. Because if you wait until the last minute, there might not be a lot to pick from. So go to BossShotShells.com right now and get what you're going to need. Don't get more than what you're going to need, but get about what you think that you're going to need. Because powder's getting hard to find, the holes are getting hard to find. Do not wait until the last minute to get shotgun shells, because you're going to be shit out of luck. So go check them out at BossShotShells.com.
That's not even close to being far. You're not even, I don't even know the word. You can't reiterate enough how bad if
I'm
you want
not,
shells.
What is it? Panic?
No, not
create
at all.
Trying to create panic.
No, if you're going to waterfowl hunt this year, you better buy your guns. You should have bought your ammo yesterday. It's that dire. I've seen so many people put places they can't find stuff. And I've noticed a lot of people are talking about they're having to buy 20 gauges.
Right.
There's no 12 gauges almost anywhere. So if you want shells, you better buy them now.
Don't wait till the last minute.
And if you're going snow goose hunting in February and March, better learn how to shoot a wiffle bow or something.
BossShotShells.com. Also, we're brought to you by Lucky Duck. Spinners, if you're going to field hunt, we've always been a big proponent of using spinners out in the field. They've got a big boy dog crate out there. So if you've got a plus size dog like my boy Lou, they got a kennel for you. It is 5-star crash test rated. Put them back there, strap them down. You're not going to have to worry about Fido whenever you're going 70 down the highway. Spinners are top notch. They're waterproof. So if you have an uh-oh on a body of water, pick it up, shake it off, get it going again, dry it out, and you'll be set and ready to go. Check them out at LuckyDuck.com and, get whatever you're going to need. Also, they got the best A-frame that's on the market. The 2x4, four grown men, packs up nice and neat, and you don't have to fuck around anymore. Brush it once and be done with it.
And put your dog in that crate.
Yes, put them in there. LuckyDuck.com. Also, we're brought to you by Dirty Duck Coffee. If your coffee sucks, it ain't the duck. That's how I start my morning every day out here at the Big Honker Lodge. And if you walk through our breakfast line, that is how you're going to start your morning too. Dirty Duck, they're made here, right here in Texas. They're introducing new blends to the lineup almost monthly. They've got a Missouri Boat Ride blend that is very, very delicious. They've got the High Velocity, which I like because really gets my engine roaring. Dirty Duck Coffee, and you can taste the difference. So no more shitty coffee early in the morning. Go get Dirty Duck and just be done with it. DirtyDuck.com. We're also brought to you by Gundog Outdoors. Take care of your four-legged friend. They've got a field trauma kit. If you're going out into the field this year, you need to get the field trauma kit. Put it in your bag. Get another one for your pickup. You never know when tragedy is going to strike, and you need to be prepared. So get the field trauma kit from Gundog Outdoors. They've also got, listen, Lou, he's not the most polished dog in the world. He likes to go when the guns go off. So I put the quick release system on him. That way he is right where I think he's going to be at all times when I'm ready to send him. Pull the little chain, quick release, lets him go out, do what he needs to do. They've got new bumpers out. So if you're in the middle of training your dog, their bumpers are very nice, have a soft feel, not going to hurt your dog's. Not going to hurt your dog's teeth if he comes barreling in and wax the bumper. So Gundog Outdoors has got it going on, and they've got everything that you're going to need for your four-legged hunting buddy. Also, we're brought to you by the boys over at the Looking Glass Duck Club podcast. Logan Pyatt, Jeff's twin brother, right?
Well, identical twin.
Identical twin.
We don't act the same, but we look the same.
Mr. Juicy himself and Rebel, y'all put enough pressure on them. You can donate to their Patreon site, and you can get their bourbon review, and you can hear all the debauchery going on.
Lots of debauchery.
Lots of debauchery. Hopefully some of that debauchery comes out here opening weekend of dove season.
I hope so.
He says he's going to try to make it happen. But to listen to those guys, you donate to their Patreon site. I think it's $5 or $6 a month, and you get their entire podcast history. So I highly recommend you checking that out if you're a red-blooded, bourbon-drinking American. Looking Glass Duck Club podcast.
Home of the illustrious potate, the honorable Fezware Shriner himself, Logan Pyatt.
We're also brought to you by Goose Creek Retrievers. Matt Peel, listen, he's a world-class dog trainer. No problem too big or too small. You can send your pup up to him, and they'll do the dirty work for you. They'll actually housebreak that little bastard. So my hat's off to him for that. And I tell you what, he's on a circuit right now. He's going to all the field trials, the hunt test, and he's raking it up right now. I don't know how he does it. There's no telling how many miles he's put on his pickup, but he's got it going on. All of his hard work is paying off. So if you want to pick his brain, you can follow them on Instagram, Goose Creek Retrievers. He's one of the best dog trainers that's out there right now. I mean, it's not even close. You just look at the body of work that he has. It's impressive. That's at Goose Creek Retrievers. Also, we're brought to you by Bangtail Whiskey. Mr. Brandon Bing has made a delicious whiskey that I have enjoyed all summer long. I make my whiskey sours out of it. Check them out if they're at your local liquor store, Bangtail Whiskey. It's a very good whiskey, and I cannot recommend it enough. So go check them out, bangtailwhiskey.com. We're also brought to you by EyeSight Drone Service. There's no problem too big or too small for EyeSight Drone Service. They send a drone up in the air. They can survey your land. If you've got a teal hole or anything like that, you want to know how much water it's holding or, you know, any of that good stuff, contact the guys over at EyeSight Drone Service, and they can give you an accurate representation of your land.
In today's world, it's the most important thing you can do. I mean, they can do anything you need to do. They can fly over your cattle. They can do a game check for you. They can check your property to see if you've got any kind of oil field damage, storm control, anything. Drones are the way to go. It makes life so much simpler. So contact the guys at EyeSight Drones.
Last but not least, we're brought to you by Stanfield Hunting Outfitters. We've got any weekends, or is it all weekdays at this point?
What on?
Just anything.
I've got... Are we talking about dove hunting?
Anything.
I've got some dove hunting in October open. I've got some waterfowl hunts. I've got waterfowl hunts all 3 months of open. Not tons of days, but I do have dates I can work in. If you got small groups, I can get you in because we've combined them with some other small groups. If you got some big corporate stuff, I still have room available.
So
the COVID, we've lost some customers with COVID. I've had some openings on our calendar come up.
It's going to happen.
And it's going to happen everywhere, and everybody's going through it. If you got a last-minute deal, you're sitting there and you're saying, hey, we want to try to go hunt next weekend. Call Fat Jeff and see if he can get you in, because I bet you I'll try my best if we got anything open.
940-658-3172. Or you can email goose@westtex.net. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to the Big Honker Podcast, brought to you by Dive Bomb Industries. I am Jeff Stanfield with the world famous Andy Shaver.
That's right, Jeff. You've got that. You've got it. You've at least got that down.
And with us today, and I can't remember where in the fucking California he's from because I already wrote this, from Butte, Dominic. DeLucchi.
DeLucchi.
Did I get it right?
Yeah. Not too bad there.
For everybody listening to this shit, we've been going over this name I'm supposed to pronounce for the last 5 minutes, and they had me so fucked up, confused on what I was going to say, and sure enough, I fucked the whole thing up.
You fucked up one of our sponsors that we've only had since day about 15 of this podcast. So, well,
I'll text Cody Stokes and apologize to him in a minute. Dominic, my man.
Dominic.
Come on.
His problem is I had a Dominique that went to high school with me. So, and Dominique was one of Jeff's favorites. Of all the kids that I went to high school with, Dominique had a special place in Jeff's heart. So that's a confusion, I think.
I just call you Dom for short, which I did him because it makes it a lot easier for me?
Dom's perfect. That's okay. What I go by.
My Italian friend, my blood brother right there. So, yeah. Dom. Tell us about your life in Northern California in the hunting business. Can you buy shotgun shells right now out there?
It is hard to buy some shotgun shells right now. They are few and far between. Seems like every time you walk into Bass Pro, Sportsman's, any other kind of small shop, you know, they got nothing but maybe a handful of 3.5-inch shells, and that's it.
I have some guys here right now that are dove hunting. And by the way, dove hunting is the worst I've ever seen ever in the history of Texas this year because of the freeze, they think. We need a front bad. Anyways, I have some guys from Oklahoma here right now with me, friends of mine, they hunt with us every year, and they don't have any shells anywhere in northern Oklahoma to buy hardly at all either.
Yeah, it's bad. I've been hearing on from your guys' podcast that, you know, get your shells, and luckily I did, and I got some buddies that right now they can't even find shells for their upcoming waterfowl season next month.
Imagine the guys that have snow goose hunts booked in February and March. I did see an ad for an advertisement in one of the companies. I don't even know the name of it. And they said on their advertisement, it said, make sure you buy your shells. Listen to the boys at the Big Honker Podcast. They're telling you the truth. And I thought, you know, that's fucking right. You better get your fucking shells.
Right? Yeah, you're going to be fucked. Yep. And especially living out here in California, it's not like you can just order them online. All that's fucking gone.
So you have to order your shells through an FFL dealer to get them from like Boss.
Yep, that's exactly how you do it.
So you cannot go in a store and buy ammunition of any kind anymore.
I mean, there's, you know, they got a few shotgun shells, but hardly any. And then, you know, they got some, you know, pistol and some rifle ammo, but I mean, it's all skyproc, you know. Prices are extremely high, and the quantity is just not there at all.
That's nuts. Y'all need to recall that fuck-faced little ferret anyways.
Do you think that's going to happen or not?
No.
You know what? I'm really hoping so. You know, I see signs all over the place. You know, I think a lot of people are fed up with this shit, whether you're a Republican or Democrat. The guy is a complete fucking idiot. And I heard that our lovely president is in town today. You know, supposedly checking out the fires, but I'm sure he's here just trying to get everyone to, you know, vote for Gavin Newsom, just like Obama did on his commercial. But, you know, they're all just a bunch of fucking idiots.
First of all, Joe Biden don't even know he's in fucking on the West Coast anyway, so that don't really matter. Joe Biden didn't win an election. Let's say it right now and for the world. Everybody knows he didn't win the fucking election. And Gavin Newsom is not going to win that election, but he will still be the governor when this is all said and done because they will fucking lie and cheat like they did about everything. It's the same stuff all over again. I mean, they've already found fraudulent votes and shit, and they're not doing nothing to them.
Yeah, I heard this morning on the radio that some ladies were going to the polls and doing it all automatically, and they said that the polls said that they had already voted, and they haven't even shown up yet.
Yeah, they're cheating. They do all the time. And until the American public gets enough of that shit and goes and sticks a fucking foot up in people's asses, this shit's going to continue. But we won't get into politics. I just was curious about your shells out there, and then I couldn't pass up a chance to zoom that dickhead Gavin Newsom. But that fucker had good taste in women. He used to bang old Kim Guilfoy, Donald Trump Jr.'s girlfriend. That was his first wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I think I did know that Donald Trump Jr.'s now with his ex-wife.
Yeah. From the neck down, she's a fucking smoking hot 10. I'm telling you. What's the waterfowl business like out there? Is it hard to... Do y'all have a duck club or do y'all do guided hunts?
We have a couple family duck clubs. I used to guide back when I was in high school for a outfitter out here. I did it for about 3 seasons I started when I was about 17. I think I was a senior in high school when I started. And but we don't do any guiding personally. We have a ranch that we run about 15 guys out of that are all members. And then we have a family ranch that's just run just for my uncles and cousins and stuff like that. And then a couple other pieces of property that we do some dove hunting and some rice farming on and stuff like that.
Now, is your duck club as exclusive as the Looking Glass Duck Club? Or is it a little bit more exclusive? Is it harder to get into your duck club?
Yeah, no, it's, you know, unless you're family or a damn good friend, you know, it's hard to get in there.
Yeah, so Logan Pyatt doesn't have shit on your duck club.
Yeah.
So what's the main duck that you see? Is it cinnamon teal?
No, not at all. We hardly see any cinnamon teal, honestly. No cinnamons?
Let me guess. Hold on. Pintails and widgeons.
Yeah, it's pretty damn close. We do see our fair share of mallards, too. Quite a bit of them, actually. But, you know, when the widgeon are in thick, that's all you'll see. There's sprig everywhere with the rice fields, and our mallard population has been great the last few years.
What's your limit on pintails?
One.
I think that's nationwide. I think it's nationwide right now.
And then what do you shoot? Is it six eight for widgeon?
Young shoot 8 ducks or 7 ducks?
I would shoot 7. So we're allowed 1 sprig, drake or hen, or bull, sorry. And then mallards, 7 drakes. I think you can only shoot 1 or 2. I think it's 2 hens. And then you shoot 7 widgeon, 7 teal, 7 gadwall, 7 spoonies. Everything else is 7.
So technically you can shoot 8.
No, they can shoot 7. They can shoot 7
one
ducks.
And six?
1 and 6 or 1 in, or just 7 mallard. You can shoot 7 mallard drakes out there?
Yeah, you can shoot 7 mallard drakes, yep.
Wow.
What is your how many mallard hens could you shoot?
2.
2?
2.
Yeah. Is that just that way everywhere?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's federal guidelines. No, it's mostly let them have. Do y'all do y'all shoot a lot of geese on y'all's clubs that mostly ducks?
No, we get our fair share. We get a lot of specs. Hardly any Canadas. A lot of specs, and our snows start coming in towards the later part of the year. And when they get in, they're really thick. But specs consistently year round.
Are y'all pit hunting?
No. We do have a couple pit blinds, you know, on our rice checks and stuff. But mainly, we're hunting out of 4 or 6 man stand ups.
Like A frame type deals.
Yeah, pretty close to A-frame, yeah.
Do you hunt, is this land y'all own, or is this land y'all lease?
This is all owned.
Well, that's a perfect way to be. That way you'll have it forever. Do you worry about, this is going to be politics, but we're not going to talk about fuck face again. Do you worry about the in 10, 20 years, your kids being able to hunt in California?
Yeah, especially how it's been going the last couple years. You know, I think that, you know, they've tried to take the guns, and I don't think they're going to succeed with that. But, I mean, they're making it so hard to get ammo out here in California that, you know, that's basically going to start driving people not being able to hunt because it's either so expensive or you can't get it.
I think you said a mouthful there, and a lot of people are blind to this, I believe, but ammunition, they cut off the source of the ammo. There's no reason to have guns. And if you want to cut off, if you want to cut off hunters, I mean, you look at it this year, they're waterfowl, and they're using COVID as an excuse for everything. But we have no ammunition this year. Everybody, they're going to be out of, by Turkey Day, they won't be able to buy a shotgun shell in this country. Well, how do we know next year that we're going to have all them shotgun shells again? You know, how do we know they're going to replenish them?
That's a million-dollar question right
there.
That's
right. But if they can go one spring, if you could go one calendar year and take all the ammunition away, you're going to knock a lot of the hunters out, I think. 10% of them won't come back and hunt. They'll be like, well, we can't get ammo, so we won't do it anymore. And that really concerns me. Because when I was a kid, you could just go down. If you couldn't buy shotgun shells, you could go reload shotgun shells. Fuck, you could buy powder. It was just sitting on a counter. Just walk down and grab some. When's last time?
Yeah, we have a couple. Go ahead.
You've seen some stores where they got ammo to reload and supplies?
Yeah. We actually have a couple reloaders, and we used to do it all the time, especially 410 loads for dove season and stuff. But, you know, it's hard just to get the supplies now to be able to reload it yourself, so it's almost not even worth it.
I wish I was taught that as a kid.
To reload?
Yep.
I can get you a reloader, and I can show you.
No,
it's pretty easy.
No. That's something that you need to learn when you're a young child.
Well, when I was 10 years old, I reloaded a lot of shotgun shells, but it was a lost art by the time I got there because it was just cheap as to buy them as it was to do all that.
That's what's so scary about all of this, like, end-of-the-world type shit, is everything's a lost art. Making butter? I couldn't tell you how Mrs. Betty Crocker does her shit. I don't know how the fuck she does it.
Your mother-in-law can.
I can't do butter. What, Jeff? What do I do when, you know?
Did Jesse not know how to can nothing?
No, fuck no.
And her mom and her grandmother do all the time.
That's what I'm saying. We're screwed.
We are. You're right. And that's
not self-sufficient. I can't reload. I'll shoot what I got, and that's it. And I'm not a good shot, so I'm going to use more than what I need.
The funny thing is, in our country right now, is the people that have got, that are, these people that's got 50, I got a guy in my office today, and he told me he had 50,000 rounds of 22. 50,000 rounds of 22 loads. First of all, I can't imagine having that many 22 rounds. But guys like that, what are they going to do with that? But he buys them every time he goes to town. He buys more 22 rounds.
He'll be ready.
If you're having to fight somebody off with a 22, you are fucked.
So what is have you always had this big number of specs, or is that something that's relatively new in your area?
No, I think I think it's relatively new, you know, maybe in the last 10 years or so.
Right.
But like every year we're starting to see really more and more of them, and you know we're allowed to shoot 10 specs out here, and so we keep seeing more and more, and we keep piling up the numbers, and you know, every year it just seems like it gets better, honestly.
They're like roaches. They just, you find more and more and more. They're like Democrats, really. I mean, you get a couple there, and then 5 years they're taking over the neighborhood. But
right,
and it's that way here.
Yes.
Like, every year there seems to be more fucking speckle bellies.
Thank God.
But we can only shoot two.
Two specs?
Two specs. I don't know if I'd want to shoot 10. Those slimy bastards, they start wearing on me in January.
So you shoot 10. How often do you shoot 10 specs?
How?
How often do you shoot 10 specs?
Oh, I mean, really kind of just depends on, you know, the weather or where you're at, or if there happen to be area, or if they're just, you know.
So it doesn't happen often?
No, it doesn't happen all the time. I say last year it happened probably 4 or 5 times, and that was it. I remember a couple times were solo hunts. But besides that, usually there's 4 of us, and, you know, I'd say on average we probably, or where I hunt, where our property is, anywhere from like 2 to 5.
Every hunt.
Yeah, pretty damn close. Every hunt, yeah.
It makes a nice trap full. When does y'all season open out there?
October 24th.
When do y'all close? Into January 30th?
January 30th, last day in January.
Y'all run straight through, or do y'all have a split?
Straight through. No split here.
Well, y'all lucky fuckers.
We don't have a split.
Well, fuck, they fuck us out of 3 weeks of season. They get 3 weeks longer than we do.
Well.
That's a good season. That's 107 days or something.
Would you take that season and just be done January 30th?
Yeah, fuck yeah. I said the stupid ass February. Yeah. And we could start hunting October 24th.
Yeah. Is that the way it is where you are? You're like, your speckle bellies get there around the same time every year?
Yeah. I was up at the club last weekend, and there's some clubs that already started to put water on, and there's quite a bit of specks already in the area, and ducks.
Your specks are already there from none of it?
I mean, there's not a huge, like we'll see like during the heart of the season, but I ran across a couple grinds yesterday, or last weekend, sorry, when I was out there, and there was quite a bit in the couple rice fields that I saw.
So now walk me through this. How, you said they're putting water on. The rice is just sitting there, and then you flood it?
Yeah, so they'll grow the rice, they'll harvest the rice, and then they'll put water on. Where I saw a lot of the ducks, they're actually on some private clubs that they're already putting water on, that they got water grass and smart weed growing in, and the clubs are so big that they've already had to start putting water on, or else they won't even have water by October 24th, all the way full.
It takes that long?
Some of the clubs are that big out here, yeah. They're huge. So
how many acres is that, roughly?
I mean, there's clubs all over. I mean, our club is about 60 acres, and we'll start flooding October 1st. And there's some clubs that are, 1,000 acres or 500-700 acres, and they're already starting to flood.
So once the rice comes off and you flood it, like, that's it. It's just there for ducks, right?
Like, for the rice,
there's no crawdads or any of that, anything like there is in Louisiana. Because isn't that what they do in Louisiana? They flood it for the crawfish?
No, they have crawfish farms also because they bring a lot of money. But what's funny is the coon asses will do the same thing they're doing, but then they complain about the people up north that are flooding the corn when they're flooding the rice to hunt on. It's the same deal.
But the rice has already been harvested.
Well, but they grow a second crop on it, then flood it a lot. There's a lot of food in those flooded rice fields, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of food. I know nowadays that, the tractors and the harvesters are so, really good with the equipment that they can, I don't even think they're allowed to leave like any more than like 1% of rice in the field.
Yeah, they get a lot of it. Now, what town are you hunting around? I'm looking at a map right now just for my own knowledge. Whereabouts are you from Yuba City?
Yuba City. So you'll go to Gridley.
Yes,
you'll
see that. Uh-huh.
Gridley, and we're probably about 15 minutes outside of Gridley. I don't know if you're looking at a map that tells you the refuges or not, but there's a big refuge there called like Gray Lodge Refuge, and that's about 15-20 minutes outside of Gridley, and we're about right next to that.
I'm assuming Thermalito or Thermalito, however you pronounce it, holds a lot of birds around all that water.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, there's not a huge amount, but yeah, there's a decent amount of birds on there.
Let me go back to politics for a minute then, because we're talking about communism, California. Y'all's water y'all pump out there, they're having water issues down south. Are they on y'all's ass about flooding that property for when we got all these poor thousands of homeless fuckers that won't work in San Francisco that are out of water?
I know on some of the clubs and even some rice fields, I have some buddies that are, leased some blinds. And they're talking that they might not even get water till Thanksgiving, if not later, because they can't even guarantee them water, on opening day, which doesn't happen all the time, but they can't even guarantee it on Thanksgiving.
Jeez.
Luckily at our clubs, we're pretty fortunate enough that we have our own wells there. So usually we get water from our neighbor, but, this year our neighbor happens to be actually the last couple of years, it's CWA now, California Waterfowl, actually bought the club next to us. And I don't even think we're going to get water from them this year. I think we're just going to pump ourselves.
The state doesn't regulate y'all's water there, then what y'all take out of your wells? You might not want to answer that. We'll just say that no, they don't.
Yeah, I don't actually know that question. I know that on October 1st, we're turning that pump on, and there's not really anyone that's going to tell us to turn it off.
And then when will ducks start hitting it? About how long? Does it have to be dead level full, or will they start pretty quick?
We'll turn our pumps on October 1st, and we'll probably start seeing ducks on it maybe a week later.
Okay. And then what? Yeah. So you got another 2 weeks where they kind of get a little bit of rent-free and get comfortable, and then you pound them right there at the end of October.
Yeah, yeah. We like to turn it on and have a couple weeks for the birds to find the water and to kind of get comfortable a little bit. And then, you know, since we're so close to the refuge, I think the refuge's close zone has already started flooding, or if not, is full. So there should be a lot of birds sitting there. And then, you know, with the clubs around us starting to put water on there and us putting water on October 1st, you know, the birds are just going to start making their way all the way around and finding different places to sit on, and give them a couple weeks. And usually by the end of October there on opening day, it's pretty successful.
Now, do you know anything about what's going on at that one lake where they're draining it, I guess, and then you're in the drought? What is it, Klamath? Is that what it is?
Yeah, Klamath. Klamath and Refuge up north.
Yeah, what's going on with it?
So I've heard a couple different things from some people that actually live up in that area. I have a good friend of mine who actually has the license to guide on that refuge. There's only 5 guys that are allowed to guide on that refuge. And one of the main reasons is that I heard that they don't want to take any water out of the rivers or lakes because of the fish. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're trying to save the fish population, so they don't want to put any water on the refuge for the waterfowl population, which is, you know, I think it should kind of be split 50-50, but obviously I'm not making that decision. And there is a big Indian reservation up there too, and I think they are holding a lot of the water on the reservation, and that's another reason I think we aren't getting the water on that refuge that we should.
I'm going to tell you what, California is an amazing piece of geography. I mean, it's beautiful. A beautiful place. It's got everything in the world.
You and got every terrain.
Yeah, and more fucked up people live in California than the rest of the United States combined outside of Washington, D.C. It's just amazing.
That's why the weather's too beautiful.
I'm telling you, every fucked up person in the world moves to California, and they fuck it up more. And what a cool place, though. But my gosh, no water because the fish. Them fuckers would let people die of thirst, but they damn don't want a fucking perch to die. It just don't make sense.
Yeah, and that refuge is such, you know, it's so big. And then a lot of waterfowl actually hits there. You know, coming down from Washington and Canada and stuff like that, you know, that's a huge, huge part of the migration. And I was up there last year on October 1st because their season starts a couple weeks before ours. And we were dry field hunting up there because there was no water. When I've been there, you know, 3 years ago, and the refuge is full and there's water everywhere. You're hunting, you're shooting mallards and widgeon and low cut grain fields with tow water in there. And it's unbelievable to last year it being so dry where they're only putting a certain amount of boats in, you know, the big sumps that they got there. And I heard this year that those big sumps that they have up there, they're not even allowing dogs to go in them as of right now because the water's so low, the algae in there, they say it can kill your dog.
Oh, it's the, what is it, blue algae? Is that what it is that Ron?
Yeah, I can't remember what it is.
Blue-green algae or something like that. There was a guy that worked for us, and it was right as the drought was starting here. And... But he had a body of water, and he took his dog out there, was throwing some bumpers for it. The dog came back on the first bumper and immediately handed the bumper off and just started vomiting everywhere. And it had that blue-green algae or whatever the fuck it is. I think that's what it is. And he almost lost the dog. I mean, it was that serious.
Yeah, that shit's horrible. And it's sad to see that they've let the refuge get to this stage to where – you know, they may not let dogs on there if they don't get any water. You know, it may be closed to hunters because they don't want hunters to go in the water and, you know, accidentally fall in there. I mean, it's fucking ridiculous, honestly, because, you know, that refuge holds a lot of birds, and we get really big pushes in the migration when the birds are up there heavy. You know, when it gets really cold up there, they come down into the Sac Valley, and with that refuge kind of being shut down right now. I heard they're getting some water, which is good news. I don't know exactly where it's going, if it's just going straight to the closed zone or if they're actually going to put it into some huntable fields, but it's a fucking shame.
Can you roll your window back up?
No, I think you're
something happened.
I think it's in front of the air conditioner. There you go. Perfect.
Perfect. Bingo.
You're good. It's a sad deal. And I mean, you know, droughts are necessary, I understand, and you know, they happen and it's part of it, but I mean, just mismanagement and shit like that, that shouldn't fly. But unfortunately, it happens everywhere. So when would you say, you know, you get this season from October to January, when is your peak time? When do you feel like you're firing on all cylinders and all of your birds are there?
Usually around the end of November, we start picking up really well. And then kind of towards December, it might get a little slow for a little while. That's usually when we're hoping we get a big push of birds coming from up north. And then usually mid-December and January are usually just all the birds are here. The specks are here. The snows are starting to show up in January, if not sooner. And so I would say right around, you know, the end of November is when we really start seeing the peak of everything starting to show up.
And then you're full bore. December's good. January's good. And, you know, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
You're very fortunate for that. Now, is there times, I mean, how much are you kind of weather related? You know, if you have a hotter, milder winter, are you still going to see the birds or is it, cause like down here, if we don't have fronts, we get those calendar birds in October, but if we don't have a couple fronts, we don't see a whole lot of birds. Is it the same way with you, or are you pretty much you're set no matter what weather you get?
I think that you know, from my standpoint, you know, and being so close to the refuges, and usually they have at least water in their closed zones, if not in all their hunting ponds, it hasn't affected us a whole lot. Last year was a little bit on the slower side than we've seen in years past. I think that's just because Klamath up there up north wasn't holding a lot of birds for us to get that big push down. But, you know, I think that, honestly, I forgot the fucking question.
Do you think, are you going to have, because, you know, like Washington, states like that, they got birds really no matter what the weather does. They're going to be okay. They're going to have birds pushing through. Do you need a big weather pattern to push the birds to you, or do they kind of come no matter what the weather is? If it's nice outside, you're still going to have birds.
You know, I think they're going to come no matter what. You know, how big of numbers are they going to come? Are they going to come at once? Are they going to come just a little bit at a time? You know, I think that kind of depends on the weather. But no matter what, I think we're going to be getting the birds just because I think this is the, you know, this is how they're going to come down, you know, from Washington and all that. They're going to make their way through here no matter what. And I think kind of depending on the weather, we're still going to see the birds.
Now, how much further south will the birds go from you? Or are you the last stop? Are you where the birds winter? Or do they keep pushing on as the weather?
No, yeah, they keep pushing on. Because once the season's over, a lot of the places start to drain their water. And you really won't see that many ducks around at all just because there's not much water here at all. Everyone, all the rice fields, you know, they drain to get ready for the harvest. And a lot of the big private clubs and refuges, they all drain to do work and replant and stuff like that. So there's a couple of brooding ponds and, you know, some local birds and stuff, but a lot of them just move on.
What about, like, during the season? Like, if you have a real bitch of a winter and it's cold and you keep getting, you know, do you get much snow where you are?
No, not where I'm at. We get a lot of snow, like, up in Tahoe and stuff.
Right.
That's about 2 hours from where I'm at. Or usually they get snow. They didn't get hardly any last year because it just wasn't a good winter.
But like during the season, if you get like cold weather and, you know, fronts, will the birds typically move out? Or like during season, are you the last game in town? See, for us,
they very seldom pass.
They don't pass. They don't go past us. Like we're the last stop for them. So no matter how cold it is up north or no matter how cold it is here, our birds pretty well stay. Is it the same way with you?
Yeah, pretty close to the same here. The birds are going to stay pretty much no matter what.
Right.
Do y'all kill any Eurasian widgeons there, or is it mostly up in Washington State where they're starting to kill them, or y'all starting to have some?
We're actually starting to have some. I know, I think we killed one or two last year on our club. I've been hearing about them more and more down here, just, you know, looking on Facebook and Instagram and seeing guys kill them at the refuges around and stuff like that. We're definitely starting to see a lot more down here.
It's crazy. I mean, these things are just kind of popping up everywhere.
10 years from now, we'll be killing them here, I think. I think it's going to be like specks. I think they're pretty adaptable, and they're just mixed in with the American widgeon just everywhere.
Yeah. What's the most fucked up bird you've shot? Do you have, like, a weird hybrid that you've seen?
Most fucked up bird I shot.
Didn't you send me a picture of a...
You're right. Yeah, I did. I sent you a picture of my little cousin who shot a hybrid. I think it was a... I want to say it was a mallard widgeon. And Brian Huber, I think his name is, the band guy, was talking about it on your guys' podcast, and I was listening to it on the way home. And he was talking about it, he was giving the whole story, how the kid ran out there. It was like, it's a mallard widgeon, it's banded, all this shit. And that's exactly how it happened. That was my cousin. He was in the CWA magazine. It was banded, and that bird is actually mounted at our ranch.
Was he with Brian when he shot it? How does Brian know the story?
I think the story was turned in when they called the band in, and they knew that the bird was a hybrid. And so I think the story was given, and then pictures were taken. And I think I have a copy of actually the magazine the house.
And he knew it was a mallard widgeon when he was going to get it?
Yeah. I mean, we've been hunting waterfowl as a family. I mean, ever since we could walk, going out to our different ranches that we have, and you know, we could tell every waterfowl species probably before we could read a book.
But what did it, so that picture that I saw, it was just like the band and the tail feathers. What did the rest of it look like?
I think the rest of it looked kind of like a widgeon, and then it just kind of had a really, really green head. I wish I had a whole picture in front of me to look at. I should have took a picture of the mount when I was up there, but you can definitely see that it looks like a mallard front and then kind of going into a widgeon. I think it's a widgeon. Maybe it's a sprig. No, I think it's a widgeon.
They killed one at Falco, or somebody had one last year they killed that was pretty sharp looking.
It was that wood duck.
They killed a wood duck mallard cross. That's right. That was really sharp looking.
No, I think it was I think it was even more fucked up than that. I think it was like a green-winged teal wood duck or some shit. That'd it really was fucked up. I'll try to find it real quick because I don't want to piss those guys off at Falco.
Why would they be pissed off?
You don't know what's going to piss people off. Go ahead. What'd you say?
We killed a mallard crossed with like an Aflac duck, one of those white, all white mallards.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we killed one of those. That got that mounted up at the ranch, too. That looks pretty cool. It looks just like a mallard with a bunch of white on its head and then throughout the body and the wings. It's pretty crazy.
Those things will screw anything that slows down enough. If that other duck slows down just enough, they'll stick their dick in it. Like, they don't care. So, what did the paperwork say on this this hybrid? Did it say mallard / cross, or what did it say?
I'm pretty sure that when they called it in, it said it was a hybrid and banded somewhere pretty close. I think Brian actually banded it. And it said exactly what it was. I should have asked for the paperwork from my cousin. I know he's got it somewhere. And it said mallard / widgeon.
It did.
Yeah.
See, we've shot a lot of hybrids, but we've never shot a hybrid that was banded. So I was interested to see what it said on the on the paperwork. So yeah, I just pulled up the picture. It is a mallard wood duck. So it looks kind of like a mallard, but have you seen the picture, the one that we're talking about from Falco?
I think I have seen that. I think I saw their post on there.
Yeah, it looks like a mallard, but it's kind of got that tufted up wood duck in the back. Head. Yeah, that wood duck head. Do y'all shoot any wood ducks there?
Yeah, we shoot wood ducks there. I mean, not a whole lot, but, you know, we definitely will scratch them out. You know, it's not uncommon, but a lot of them kind of know where to go to, and they're really not responsive to a call or anything like that. So every once in a while we'll get some that just come right in, you know, either on the mojo or jerk string or something like that. They'll get their attention and they'll just dive right in.
I've never shot a wood duck. Never.
Don't have them here hardly. Very seldom.
We last year during big duck season, we had one here and the guys missed.
Oh.
One time I've ever seen a wood duck in my entire life. And well, not my entire life. I hunted in Canada, but never got a wood duck. But the one opportunity that I've had here, and they missed. So, wasn't meant
to. They make a sweet sound when they're flying.
They do?
A squeak.
Yeah, it's Yeah, it's a big squeaking sound, and you could you definitely know it's a wood duck when you hear it. It's not like nothing else.
Now, what are do you ever eat them? What do they taste like?
Yeah, they taste pretty good, actually. I mean,
no, don't lie.
Yeah, you don't have to lie. If you don't like it, you don't
taste
like
a fucking duck.
Yeah, it's about the same. I think all ducks pretty much taste the same. Maybe the spoonies taste like shit, just because they're. But I mean, I think it all tastes the same. Honestly, whenever I'm eating duck, it's just jalapeno poppers, pretty much.
Do you think that spoonbill is eating anything different than that fucking mallard is that you're shooting?
Yeah, they eat trash, Jeff.
What? No, they're eating the same shit.
They eat trash.
Mallards and spoonies feed right next to each other all the time.
Spoonies go down deep and they get that shitty ass mud.
I think mallards eat more shit than anything. You see them always in those, you know, drain storms or anything like that around here, and people love to shoot them, and I think they eat the most fucked up shit.
They eat a lot of McDonald's, too.
Where we hunt in Oklahoma, the birds come off of a shit pit, actually, mm-hmm. that we're hunting, so we're shooting shit ducks right off the bat.
Lots of widgeons.
And all over Oklahoma, they come off the shit ponds. Mm-hmm. Every town has got a flock of ducks on them.
So, do you have an early teal season?
No, no early teal season here. No? Just late.
What was that? What would you say?
Just a late goose season.
What is that? When does that run?
I think that's I think our season ends in January. I think we have a week off, and then we have a weekend junior hunt, and then I think after that, I think we have a 2-week late goose.
And is it just Canada's or what is it?
It's specks and snows. That's it.
No shit, huh?
Yes, just specks and snows.
Why do they do that?
I think that's because there's still so many freaking snows here towards the end of the season and specks. And usually by that time, all the water's starting to drain, like off rice fields and stuff. And you can get them coming in there because it's just tow water in there. And they'll just pile full of geese. And we've had great hunts on the late goose seasons.
And it's 2 weeks after your regular season closes?
I believe so. Yeah, I don't think it changed this year, so I'm pretty sure it's still 2 weeks after the regular season. Because there's a junior hunt. There's a junior hunt in between. That's a weekend, and then there's a 2-week late season goose.
I got to be honest with you. When people start talking about late season and early season and regular season, it confuses the fuck out of me. There are so many states in this great country of ours. They're like, yeah, we got early season for here, and you can shoot 82 geese per day, and then we got regular season here, and you can only shoot a bird and a half, and then we got a late season, and like you can unplug your guns, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, how the fuck do you keep your rules straight in your state? Like Minnesota, I think Minnesota's that way. Oh yeah, we got an early season, we got a regular season, we got a late season. It's like, fuck me, just run it all at once and just do it.
Yeah, no unplugging the guns here.
No,
even on the snow goose hunt, you can't.
I was embellishing.
No, still got to shoot 3 shells. That's it. And no nothing.
In the conservation season.
I did not know that.
Yeah, no, there's no e-collars allowed, and you have to keep your plugs in your gun at all times.
Well, listen, if there was a state that wanted to make it easier for the snow goose, it would be California. Do y'all have a lot of those? like in your state, is there an abundance of them?
Yeah, I mean, towards the end part of the year, usually we get pretty big grinds, and I know everyone around me, and, usually we have really successful snow goose hunts.
So what do you do? Do you do, like, the big spreads like everybody, like you see on Instagram, or how do you like to do it?
We've done those before in a couple of the rice fields we have. We get big spreads out, and I've guided a couple hunts where we do big spreads. And those are a lot of fun, but mostly at my ranch, it's all natural. And so what we'll do is, we'll set up in our A-frame blinds, and then we'll get a couple other guys set up in the toolies, and we'll put out probably 3 to 6 dozen full bodies, and the snows are coming off the refuge a couple miles away, and we've actually tuned a couple of our own snow calls off redbone calls, mm-hmm. and we get them working in like mallards. It's actually unbelievable.
No shit, huh?
Yeah, we get, anywhere a flocks of, even a couple pairs to, we've had flocks of probably close to 100, and they'll just circle us 4 or 5 times, if not more, and then right in like ducks.
See, you're lucky because I've been on a couple conservation hunts, and that fucking e-collar, those guys that do it 7 days a week, they've got to hear it in their dreams.
Oh, yeah.
So like, the fact that you can't use an e-collar and you've got your call tuned up to where it works for you might be good for you that you don't have to listen to that e-collar for 4 or 5 hours.
I think so. I wouldn't want that in my ear for that long.
Do y'all ever kill any brant? I know you're a ways from the ocean, but do y'all ever get brant come through there on their way down?
Where I'm at, no. We don't get any brant coming that way. I've heard of them, of people shooting them kind of like towards San Francisco and stuff on the bay. I've never shot one personally, but I've never heard of one getting killed in the valley.
It's interesting. I figured they'd get some, because we kill a couple. Well, we used to kill about one a year. We haven't killed one the last couple of years, but usually we get one that gets lost. What about sea ducks? Do y'all ever get some sea ducks over there by accident?
No. Really, the only sea ducks that we get, I mean, it's not even really a sea duck, but we get some buffleheads and stuff like that, but, you know, we don't get any scoters or anything of that shit.
Oh, do you eat the buffleheads?
That's the butterball of birds right there.
That's the best-eating duck there is, they say.
Really?
That's what they say.
It's what the Rory.
Rory White says that.
Yeah, he's a chef in Canada, and he says the best-eating duck, hands down, is the bufflehead.
Oh, shit. Half the time, we don't even shoot those. We let those go right past us.
No.
Yeah, those are those are Democrat ducks here. We don't eat them some bitches.
Go listen to a couple. We've had Rory on several times. Go listen to some of his episodes. Like, he says, like, they got, like, more fat, and they're delicious.
Oh, yeah. I'll have to try that out this year.
And, you know, I mean, hell, slow hunt and fucking shoot a bufflehead.
They look they're about big enough to be an hors d'oeuvre is what they'd look like they'd be, not even a meal.
Yeah, they're not very big.
No.
No, they're not at all. So are you a Niners fan, or hell, y'all got so many teams. You got the Niners, Rams, Chargers. Where does your loyalties lie?
In Seattle, but pretty much further away.
Yeah. I'm a Niners fan. I like the Niners. I like the team this year. You know, I'm not a huge football fan. You know, I don't really like, kind of the way the football, you know, the whole league is going, but, I try to not listen to that shit and just watch the game.
Yeah,
purely entertainment.
Same here. Dance monkey dance, baby.
So what's your thoughts on this? Jimmy Garoppolo or Trey Lance? Who's going to be the quarterback? Because every fantasy guy in the world that owns one of them is kind of in a quandary right now. What do you think is going to happen?
I don't know. I was pretty surprised to see Trey Lance come in, you know, Sunday's game and
steal a touchdown
and throw that touchdown pass. Yeah, to what's his name? That other wide receiver who took Ayuk spot. I forget his name. But
not Debo.
Not Debo. It was.
It don't matter.
So, yeah, it don't matter. But I don't know. I think Jimmy. If you would have asked me this question last year or right when they drafted him, I would have said, you know, shit can Garoppolo, and we're going with Trey Lance.
Right.
Because really impressed. But I think it's kind of lighting a fire up Garoppolo's ass, and you know. That preseason game that he went into the end zone and lowered his head and tried to get into the end zone. You know, I think he's kind of doing whatever he can to, you know, keep playing on the field, because I think one bad game and they're going to fucking sit him.
Yeah.
And see, he don't have a plan before, because I always thought that he would get out of San Francisco and end up at New England. I really did.
Back.
Yep. But Matt Jones played really good the other night, or Mac Jones. I mean, really, he was like 29 of 35 or something. And if Damian Williams don't fumble, they beat Miami.
Still lost.
But he played good, though, is what I'm saying. And I think that he's got a future there, so I don't think there's a place for Garoppolo there. And, I mean, fuck, if Andy Dalton can get a job somewhere, Garoppolo can get a job somewhere.
Here's my idea.
He might be in Green Bay next year.
We're in that two-quarterback league here at the Lodge, and I took Garoppolo as my third quarterback, and I think Blake has Trey Lance.
Yes.
So I really need Garoppolo to play all year to fuck Blake.
Well, you know, I don't know if Garoppolo can throw the ball more than 40 yards or 30 yards.
We don't need to. We're a dink and dunk team. We're a dink and dunk team. West Coast offense, baby. No, but I think the Niners are going to be really good this year, no matter who they play. They got a good team. They might, you know. Hell, they were in the Super Bowl a year ago.
Well, you picked Arizona to win the division in March or April. Now you've backed on them, and now they look damn good.
I'm not backing off on my prediction for Arizona. I'm just saying Niners have an all.
So you're back on Arizona now.
I never got off of Arizona.
You didn't pick them to win the division on our last deal with Shanahan.
Jeff, I did too.
No, you didn't.
He's mixing words here.
Do y'all argue at y'all's camp like me and Andy do?
Oh, yeah, all the time. All the time.
Who's the head dick there?
My uncle. So he's actually my uncle's. And so my dad, he passed away. His brothers that are my uncle, my grandpa. So this is kind of a confusing story, actually. Hold on. So my dad has two brothers. And my grandpa, his brother is not married or anything like that. His name's Uncle Jerry. Bad shit crazy. But he loves hunting.
We got Uncle Steve like that.
And he's the guy who got everyone into waterfowl. He's the guy who runs everything and, you know, treats us all like, you know, his kids and family just because we've all he's got. But he's the guy who runs everything and makes the decisions and, you know, sometimes – a lot of us don't like what he's got to say. I think he's kind of losing it, but he's the guy.
So Uncle Jerry, is that his name?
Uncle Jerry, that is his name. He actually is just coming off of he broke his hip this summer out at the ranch driving a quad because he said that he can't turn his head very well. And, you know, he blames that on everyone else in the world.
That he can't turn his head? He blames it on people?
Oh, yeah, you should, you know, you're ever out in California, you got to come out here, man. This guy is hilarious. But he can't turn his head, and he blames it on everyone else, and so he couldn't see what was behind him, and he backed his quad right into one of our dry ditches and fell off and broke his hip. He's like 78 years old and got helicoptered out of there, and he's fine now. He's driving at the ranches and telling everyone what to do, and, you know. He's still walking around.
Uncle Jerry has no kids, and so y'all are all like his kids, and he takes care of the hunting place.
Yep.
Probably exactly. A very happy man, isn't he?
Yes. You know, he's got a temper side, but yeah, no, he's a very happy man. He's a great guy, and he loves duck hunting. I mean, he hunts more than I do. I mean, more than any of us, because we all are working and got other jobs, and, you know, he's 70-something years old, and he's out there every single day.
Just goes out there, and if he shoots, he shoots. If not, it's okay.
Yeah, his main rule is he wants one clean kill, one shot kill, and he's good for the day.
That's badass.
You know what, though? It's a happy guy right there. My dad was that way. The little things that everybody else would think, man, that old guy don't have in his life, he has what he wants right there. He's got a happy place, and that's a good life right there.
Exactly. Exactly.
We all want to be Uncle Jerry one day, except without the bad hip.
I like to be able to turn my head.
Yeah, turn your head. Yeah, Uncle Jerry, life's not so fucking good for Uncle Jerry, matter of fact. It kind of sucks.
Exactly.
Did you have to take care of him after he broke his hip?
Luckily, I got some cousins that are a little younger than me and aren't working full time. They got stuff taking care of his ass because he was too stubborn to get a nurse to come to the house, and he'd feel like he didn't need that. So they had to take care of Uncle Jerry, and I feel sorry for them.
Especially come shower time.
I can see that. Ron was that way. Ron was way too fucking stubborn to hire anybody. He'd rather, but he did not mind imposing on Tony or Jeff.
No, not at all.
Not at all. But by God, he's not going to hire a nurse.
Exactly. These guys, they sound like the same person almost.
I'm telling you, when you talk about Uncle Jerry, I was thinking, that's my dad. Yeah, dad didn't have any problem at all being a pain in our ass. He didn't want to bother nobody else, though. But he didn't think nothing about imposing for anything on us. I'm going to get me a bumper sticker and say, I hope I live long enough to be a burden to my children. I'm screwed, though, because other than Andy's wife, I think all my boys, I don't think they do anything for us. I think Jesse's going to be the one to take care of us. Andy's like, I don't know. Jesse may be out, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
Tough sell. We got people pulling up. It has been a pleasure talking to you, my friend. We've got dove hunters pulling down the drive right now. They're ready for steak. So we will let you go. We wish you all the best this hunting season, and hopefully the birds come down and you can
– Show everybody on YouTube your hat. It's a badass hat.
Are these for sale?
Butte St. Waterfowl. Yeah, I got a couple new lines coming out here in a couple weeks right before opening day. So, yeah, you can check it out on Instagram, Butte St. Waterfowl.
It's a badass hat, my friend. Take care of yourself. God bless you and help you have a great season.
Thank you. You guys too.
Thank you. Bud. Bye.
Bye.
Steve, Uncle Steve. We were just talking about them crazy fucking uncles. Just walks right in.
You just come on and have you a seat,
Steve. Yeah, come over here and sit down, Steve. Well, sit
for
down.
What?
We're going to talk to you for a second.
I'm going to talk to you for a second. What have you got there?
Water. You been drinking all day? No, I haven't. You haven't had a drink? This is the soberest I've ever seen you up here.
I've had one beer.
Steve, I've seen you drunk before, and you're sober tonight, and I'm proud of you. Do you miss Dad?
Yes, I do.
It's a whole lot different
you're
up
have
here.
To talk
get
into
the microphone.
You're going to, I mean.
Yeah, it's been a little over a year, and yeah, I miss him.
When you're here, it makes me think of Dad more. It does. You're like that uncle, that crazy uncle that shits in his pants. We were just talking to this other kid about his.
We were pretty close. We were pretty good buds.
You made me sad today.
What did I make sad?
When you told me you talked to your preacher about me speaking at your funeral. No, I want you to be around for another 15, 20 years.
Well, I won't live 15, 20 years.
How do you know that?
I was just telling him that I wanted you to do a eulogy, and he said, what about your family? And I said, you can have three to five minutes.
Do you think this guy's really going to put me on the clock and I'm going to listen to him?
He's pretty.
I can hold my own.
I know, but he said, I'll make him get off this. Whatever. Let's don't even think.
Well, no, I didn't. It made me sad. I told Michelle, it made me sad. Steve's asking me about talking about his funeral. I said, maybe something he knows something's wrong.
No.
God damn, you better outlive Craig.
Craig will probably live to be 95.
Craig don't look very healthy.
No.
Well, he looks real healthy. He's been eating well.
Yeah. I just screwed up the microphone. Anyway.
Now, tonight at dinner, are you going to tell the story finally? Why?
I'm not in the mood to do it this trip. I'll do it. Eventually, I'll do it.
No, you won't.
Yes, I will.
No, because every time you come up with a reason not to.
I don't feel comfortable telling that.
Well, I can understand why.
I'll do it one of these days.
You got some great stories.
Well,
you just don't tell them.
I've had a pretty good
life. He's told all of us.
I've had a pretty good life.
I could write a book just on you.
Just on Steve's stories.
Yeah, there's some stuff of yours. I'm writing Cletus Nollies on splitread.com. Everybody go check it out. And they've had two. My third one will be released, I think, later this week. But you're coming up in a couple of chapters. Me and you are going to go on some hunts together.
Well, that'd be good.
I'm going to tell them the Puerto Rican whorehouse story and everything on that book.
What Puerto Rican whorehouse story?
When you stole the fucking light and got in trouble on the ship.
No, that was a bar.
You told me you'd been to a whorehouse the night before, though. You even knew the name of it.
No.
Yes, you did. What's the name of the
whorehouse? We were at a bar called the Black Angus, and I was with a buddy from Chicago, and we dared each other about getting up behind the bar and stealing the lighted beer signs.
Okay.
He got one, I got one, and about 2:30, Short Pro showed up in our barracks. I was asleep or passed out. I was probably asleep because I wasn't but 18 years old, and I had that sign in the bedroom, and he said, you got two options. Either you're going to the
Brig,
or you're going to take the sign back. So we took the sign back.
Andy Bennett was up here, and he talked about the whorehouse in Puerto Rico, and you knew the name of it.
You know how long ago that's been?
It was just 9 months ago. He was up here.
No,
I know that.
I'm 71, and I was 18 years old. Now, what's that?
A long time ago, 53
long
years.
Time. Ancient.
53?
Yeah, 53 years ago.
Yep. Ancient.
That's
ancient.
My whole lifetime.
Yeah. And see, I just had my 50-year reunion 3 years ago.
How many of them are still alive?
I think we had 120 that graduated in that class, and probably 80 of them are still alive.
80?
Do you look the best out of all of them?
A lot of them were tore up and broke, and I mean, have had really difficult lives, and a lot of it's self-inflicted.
Self-inflicted, but you've had a good life.
I said I had a good life.
I know, but yours is self-inflicted.
Sure it is.
Had a great time.
Had a great family life, had a great mom and dad, and brothers and sister, and been pretty good life.
You don't look like a man of your age, though.
Well, it's not because after I had my surgery, I started taking a lot better care of myself, but I didn't. I was like Craig. I was on a seafood diet. I ate everything I saw.
Do you, any of the chicks still hot in your class, or is none of them hot still?
What's hot?
I don't know.
What's hot when you're in the 70s?
There's a hot lady there.
Well,
but she's in her 50s, though.
She's in her 50s.
So You know, there's another time I think about you all the time. This is the truth, because I love you just like an uncle. You're like family to me.
I understand.
Every time we drop paint off the
airport,
I think about your parents losing your brother.
Oh yeah, that was.
That bothers me a lot.
That was a tragic day in the whole family's life. And he was my favorite. I don't like to think about it, but. They never got over it, my parents.
They never could.
No. And Craig and I was a senior in high school, and Craig was a junior, and I was real close to our principal because we had a really good golf team, and he was a golfer. And Craig walked out in front of me down the corridor, and then I came. As soon as I came out of the hall out on the corridor, he had just come out, and I thought, something's wrong. And there was two army officers there. And, of course, Mr. Osborne, you would have gone down. They had told him or made an appointment. And then they told me and Craig, and, you know, I don't remember what my reaction was, but back then you couldn't. We didn't have cars. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a few people. That was back before society has done what it's done. This society is very mobile now. When we were in high school, we weren't mobile. I had two or three buddies that had cars. And we got the use of my mom's car, my dad's car, either Friday night or Saturday night. That was the rules at the barber house. And I remember I don't even know how we got home. Somebody took us home from the school. And when we drove up, there was the guy that my daddy worked for. He was the CEO of that financial institution, and my daddy was the president, and he was out sweeping the driveway and sweeping the sidewalk, and people were just like a buzz at our house. And of course, those are things you never forget. But you know, you get my age, and I'm not saying my short-term memories or long-term memory has slipped some. But Kathy and I talk about it all the time. I'll tell her something, and 2 days later she'll say, you ready, or what time are you leaving? I said, what are you talking about? Well, we're going so-and-so. And she does the same thing, and that's just growing old. But it's been I miss your dad, and I don't really even like to, I think about him all the time, but I don't really like to talk about it because he was one of a kind. And was very self-centered.
Yeah.
We were just talking about that.
And we talked about that this afternoon about Kip McAllister. Said when we were out in the field, he said, you know, I looked up Stanfield's on his website, and he said, I knew his daddy died last year, but I didn't know when it was. And he said, he even talked about some of the stuff that he did. And he hadn't been a real regular out here. But Matt's been a real regular.
Yes. Good
Matt's
people.
Matt's a good guy.
Great guy.
But you know, those are things that time heals everything.
Yep, it does. And Dad would have loved this weekend. This was his favorite times when you guys were out here.
Yeah.
But you didn't come see us as much this summer. You always put us off, but we understand.
He'd have had his chair out there with you.
Yep.
We were talking about that today. This has been a hell of a year for everybody that works.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's upside down, and it ain't getting any better. I don't know what it's going to take to get it any better, but it has been, and I've never been stressed. Well, I've been stressed this year.
And I tell you all the time, quit stressing. You got money. You got a nice house. You got a great wife. You got a great life. You got family. You got friends. Yeah, you got these assholes in Knox City that think the world of you. Life's good. Enjoy it.
Well, that's why I'm going to turn it over to Russell and try to, you know, I'm 71. I don't know how much longer I'm going to live.
I don't want to have to go get your ass in a fucking chair and bring you out here, but I will.
Listen, you've already had a couple wrecks this year. I mean,
yeah, no shit.
You're getting insurance salesman. You're about one accident away from us taking your license away and putting you somewhere.
Do you remember when you used to tell me all the time, when are you going to take your dad's driver's license away?
You're
Do you
getting
remember
there,
that conversation?
Steve.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to start asking your. I'm going to ask Rick here in a minute. Listen, when are we going to take
Steve's license away? Steve is my mustache hero. For those of you watching on YouTube, I've got the stash. For this weekend, it's all for you, Steve.
You need to curl it up.
Well, I'm trying. It's not long enough just yet.
You need the...
Did you ever do the...
No.
Never?
My beard's not heavy, but get you some mustache wax.
Yeah.
And once you get it trained...
Yeah.
When you cut it off, or if you ever trim it, that memory and it starts...
Did you ever curl yours?
Oh, all the time.
Really?
I had... When I was in the Navy, they made me shave it when I was in boot camp.
Yeah.
And I grew it back. And after that, I trained it. And I'm intrigued with these guys that have these. I know guys that got mustaches mm-hmm. like this, and I mean, they're sticking out this far, and they're my age or older. And Kathy says, "Really? You really would wear something like that?"
Why don't you?
Well, I just they're a hassle to take care of.
Are you still a deacon at the church?
No, I never have been a deacon at the church.
Well, you was running the children's youth center.
I just stepped down from that because I did it for 5 years.
The FBI caught on to you.
No, and I needed a break because 20% of the people at all churches, 20% of the committees and the people
are over 75 a bit.
No. Well, not
that's way higher.
Close to it, but what I'm saying is 20% of the people of a congregation does 80% of the work at a church.
Well, that's way in the community.
In anything.
It's in anything. Anything that's volunteer, that's the way it is.
Well, I'm fixing to volunteer your ass to do some things around here later today, so I'll let you know about that later. He's all nervous.
We got to go. People are ready to eat.
Steve, man, we love you, and we're glad you're up here again.
Love you too.
Bye. God bless everybody. Thank y'all for listening to us. Check us out. Check me out on SplitRead, splitread.com, Cletus and Ollie.
Cletus and Ollie. And then,
new one. The third one will be coming out this week, I believe.
There you go. Won't be long now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, good podcast. Go check out all of our wonderful sponsors. Check out Pacific Calls, Dive Bomb Industries, Shin Gear Waiters, Boss Shot Shells, Dirty Duck Coffee, Lucky Duck, Looking Glass Duck Club Podcast, Gun Dog Outdoors, Goose Creek Retrievers, Bangtail Whiskey, Eyesight Drone Service, and Stanford Hunt Outfitters.